Welcome to this message from Shofar Christian Church. May you experience God's grace as you listen to this word being preached.
And yeah, then today is Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost is the day on which the first in the Old Testament the law was given at Mount Sinai. And in the New Testament the Holy Spirit was given, because remember, the Holy Spirit is the law written on our hearts. You know, and what many people don't realize is that Pentecost was a harvest festival. And the whole point of Pentecost was, and the giving of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts is, it says, and you'll receive power in Acts 1 verse 8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. And the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us for witness. And today we're going to talk a little bit about witness and outreach from Colossians. I just want to read to you from Colossians 4, verse 2 to 4. Last time we spoke about prayer from those verses. Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And at the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. And Paul here teaches us about outreach through his example. And, you know, if we ask the question, what do we need, or what does Paul need to do effective outreach, or by implication, what do we need to do effective outreach, to be effective at being witnesses? Paul actually, through his example, mentions four things in these verses that he needed, and by implication that we need. And if you can just bring up that slide, the four things are, number one, a clear message. Okay. Number two, open doors. Number three, a constant commitment to share the message. And number four, a ministry team. In other words, you cannot do this alone. If you want to do it effectively, don't do it alone. Okay? So, I just want to start with, in fact, I'm just going to read those verses again, but this time I'm going to read it from the NIV, because there are a few things that the NIV says better in this specific verse than the ESV. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And then it says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. Or you could actually translate it, the message. So that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And the first thing that we see here is that you need a clear message. Paul at the end there says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. But think about this. We need to make the message clear when we preach it. But unless the message is clear to us, we won't be able to communicate it clearly. In other words, if the message is unclear in your mind and heart, then it's going to be unclear in your witness when you share it with others. And the challenge is that we as Christians think, when we think about the message of the gospel, what Paul calls here the mystery of Christ, we think it's clear to us because we've believed it. And by believing it, we've been saved. And it's true that it's clear enough to us so that we can be saved by it. But often, when we have to share it, we realize it's not clear enough to share it. But, I mean, anyone who has a child will know, when children ask you questions, and they often ask you, like, why? Just the most simple things, the most obvious things, and things that you think you know, but then when they ask you why, and you need to explain it, you realize that you need a higher level of clarity to explain something, and especially to explain it simply to a child than you thought you had. You thought it was clear, but then when you had to explain it in simple terms to your child, you realize, okay, maybe it wasn't as clear as I thought it was. And often it's like that with the gospel. We often think, okay, but I know the gospel. I mean, you know, I've been saved by the gospel. But often it's not as clear to us as we think, and often it's not clear enough for us to be able to share it simply to other people. So let's just quickly look at the gospel. In these verses, Paul brings together two ways that he has been referring to the gospel throughout this letter of Colossians. He refers to it as the word. In Greek it's logos, or probably a better translation is the message, the true message. And then he also refers to it as the mystery of Christ. Let's just look at the other places where Paul, in the letter to the Colossians, refers to the gospel as the message. In Colossians 1 verse 5, he says, "The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel." The true message of the gospel. He says here, this message of the gospel is a true message. It's a message, it is the ultimate truth. I mean, if you take Bible as an acronym, you know, sometimes people use Bible as an acronym, basic instructions before leaving earth, then some of you haven't heard that before, okay? Maybe you should write it down. The Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth, okay? But if the Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth, then the gospel is the crux, the core, the center of that true message that we need to hear. If by the end of your life you have not discovered the gospel, then it won't matter what you've discovered. If by the end of your life you haven't learned the gospel and believed the gospel, it won't matter what you've learned and believed. It is that crucial. It's the true message. And it's a message that, according to these verses, produces hope. Because it says, in the true message of the gospel, you heard about the hope that's stored up for you in heaven. In other words, the gospel gives you hope beyond this life. Death, the gospel tells you, that's why it's called good news. Because it tells you that death is not the end. It's not even the beginning of the end, it's just the end of the beginning. It's the beginning of eternity. And there's a hope laid up for us in heaven. And that hope is contained in the gospel. And then in Colossians 1 verse 25 to 27, it says, "I've become its servant," talking about the gospel. "I've become a servant to the gospel by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness." There's that same phrase, the word of God, or the message of God in its fullness. "The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So, the gospel is the true message of God. It's God's true message, God's good news. And the mystery contained in this message is that God wants to be in a particular relationship with us. Firstly, that God, the good news that God wants right relationship with us. And then through Christ being in us, we can be in right relationship with him. Colossians 3, verse 16, it says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly," or dwell in you richly, "as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Now, all of these verses we've gone through before, you know, as we've been preaching through Colossians, so I'm not going to go into any detail with them. But notice that he says here, it's important that the message of Christ, the message of the gospel, must dwell in us richly. That means that we must constantly not only talk about it to one another and teach and one another, in other words, explain it to one another, we must also admonish one another and encourage one another in it. Admonish means to encourage one another to live it out, to put it into practice. But not only that, we must be so committed to getting it clear and to getting it to dwell richly in our hearts that we even sing about it to one another. Okay? And the only way you can learn the gospel and the gospel can become clear to you, so clear that you can easily present it and effectively present it to others, is if you're part of a community that takes it seriously. And we must be that community and learn it. And that's when Paul goes on to say, "And pray for us also that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains." So that's the one sort of line, the message He calls it the message or our message. The second thing is he calls it the mystery of Christ. In Colossians 1 verse 27, he also says, to them God has chosen to make known, I read this already, among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, the good news and the mystery, and this is why part of why it's called a mystery, is God doesn't just want to be out there watching you from a distance. We've all probably heard that song by Bette Midler, I think. God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance. God says, no, I don't just want to watch you from a distance. I want to come so close to you that I'm inside of you. That's the mystery. That's part of the mystery of the cross, that God actually wants to live inside of us. And then in Colossians 2, verse 2 to 3 says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of Christ, namely Christ, the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So here Paul again says, you need to understand it. It needs to be clear to you. And the mystery is Christ. And the word, we're so used to the word Christ that we read it and we don't feel the impact of it. But the word Christ is the Greek translation of the word Messiah. And it means literally the anointed Jewish king. The son of David. The anointed Jewish king. That's what the word Christ means. It's not Jesus' surname. It's more like Jesus' title. His mom and dad weren't Mary and Joseph Christ. It's his title. He is the anointed king of the Jews. But he is part of the mystery. Part of the mystery is that God wants the anointed king of the Jews to become the anointed king of the world. And by giving him to us and having him rule over us as anointed king, all the treasures of knowledge and mystery and wisdom and understanding will be ours through Christ. Then, in other words, that means that the mystery is that part of the mystery is that God's people in the Old Testament were the Jews, the Israelites. They were God's people, but God wants to include all the nations in Israel and under the rule of Israel's king, the anointed Messiah. That's the mystery. That the promises of the Old Testament weren't just for the Jews. They were for the Jews, and they are for the Jews, but they're not just for the Jews. They're for the Gentiles too. They're for everyone. So, Paul says we must make the mystery clear. And just note the paradox there. It's a mystery, and a mystery, when we think about a mystery, we think of something that's not clear, something that's hidden. But we must make the mystery clear. This mystery, now, the other part of the mystery is, I mean, if you think of kings, you know, if Christ is the anointed king, if you think of kings, kings usually expect their subjects to work for them and even to die for them. You know, probably the best depiction of that for me was in the first Shrek movie, where the little antagonist, Lord Farquaad, says, you know, when he sends the knights and stuff on a perilous journey to rescue the fair maiden that he wants to marry from the dragon, you know, he says, some of you may die, but that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. and that's sort of a very accurate caricature of kings throughout the ages. Some of you may die, but that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. Jesus is exactly the opposite. He says, I'll have to die. As the king, as the anointed king, I'll have to die. But that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. And that's also part of the mystery of the gospel. So, but we need to make the mystery clear. But in order to make the mystery clear, the mystery must be clear to us. So most Christians assume because they understand the gospel, they understand the gospel because they already believe it and they're saved by it. But we often struggle to express it when we're asked to do that. And I'm going to ask Andre just to come forward and just to facilitate an exercise to make the gospel more clear to us.
Thanks, Annie. Morning. We're going to have some fun. Okay, so first off, I want to ask the youth if you can help hand out pencils for me here by JP. If you are here and you don't have something to write with, just quickly raise your hand and they will sort you out. They're going to move a little bit faster than they're moving now. Look at them go. Awesome. So, I mean, if you look at Paul was probably the guy that knew the gospel the best. Paul was probably the guy that he was very well educated. He spoke to the well-educated Jews. He spoke to the Gentiles. He spoke to leadership who had nothing to do with Christianity. This guy can share the gospel better than anybody. This is the guy, if you want a life coach, if you want a coach, if you want a mentor, this is the guy you try and get. You pay a lot of money for this guy. He is the expert on the gospel. And this guy says, yo, pray for me that I can make it clear. So we may struggle a bit. This is a challenge for us. And you see, when he speaks to different people, he shares it differently. But to be able to do that, you know, if you have a teacher that's really an expert in things, they convey it so simply that you would think, oh, why didn't I think of that? You know, that's a really good teacher that knows his stuff, that communicates well. And Paul was that guy. So for us, I'm sure all of us, yeah, I can share the gospel. I know the gospel. But have we ever just sat down and written down the gospel? Just what would I say? And I was challenged in that a couple of years ago in small group where we said, okay, we're going to write down the gospel. And I'm like, yeah, it's easy. And you start and you're like, oh, I forgot about that. And you add that and you add that and you add, oh, no, this is taking me off course. Let's bring it back. So that was a real challenge for me. And this morning I want us to do a first draft. So, and in this week, I want to ask everybody to revisit it. Go for draft 10 in this week somewhere, you know. And Wednesday in small group, we're going to share with each other, and we're going to learn from each other, and we're going to help each other to refine our personal drafts. Okay, so this is the scenario. You're walking in a park alone, and there's a seven-year-old boy that runs up to you. Parents are sitting there at the back, and they're not worried. They can see him clearly. but they're going to stand up soon and walk this way and come and collect him in about 3 minutes' time. So you have 3 minutes, and this little kid asks you, hey, do you know the gospel? He has heard the word, but he knows nothing. He hasn't heard about Jesus, about the cross, about nothing, about God. And he asks you, can you tell me what is the gospel? So I want you, just for a moment before you start writing, just think about it. You have 3 minutes to answer that guy, and then his parents is taking him. He's obviously not going to church. He knows nothing. And this is your opportunity to share the entire gospel with him. What would you say? Seven. He's 7 years old. So you can't use big words. You can't use Christianese words. Okay, so we're going to put up a timer now for 3 minutes. And you can only write on one side of your page. Otherwise, you're over 3 minutes. You're going to write too much. This is a seven-year-old child. Okay, so can we start the timer again, please? And we're waiting for it. And go. Five. Under pressure. And zero. Stop what you're writing. As I mentioned, this is draft one. I want you to go home and rewrite it. I want you tomorrow to write it again and ask the Holy Spirit this week to help you refine it. Now, the one thing I don't want, I didn't put anything up there, what is the gospel? Because each and every one of us is made in God's image. We have different strengths. We have different weaknesses. And God has given you ability to share the gospel in such a way that it would be perfect for some people. Henny shares the gospel in a certain way that's perfect for other people. So I don't want you to say it word for word with the same voice as Henny does or as myself does. This is something for the rest of your life that you're going to use that is core to who you are. This is so important to us. So please do not write down or copy the person next to you. Okay, it's tempting. He's hiding it. Well done. Okay, so your gospel is going to sound different to the person next to you, and it should. But the facts should be in there. The facts should be the same. And this week, chat to people. Ask them, what does your gospel sound like? And learn from each other. So I'm going to ask Nkateki to come and share her gospel in 3 minutes. Yay!
Morning, everyone. I've had about 48 hours that I sat with this question, so I hope it sounds like I had 48 hours. So I don't need a timer because it's just too much pressure. So I sat with it and I really thought, like, 7 years old, like, what do 7 year olds actually really comprehend? I didn't come to like a definite answer to that, but I'll try my best. So what I would basically share is this, that in eternity past, there's been a God, a perfect God. So he is one God and he's in three persons. And then that God created the world and everything in it, including us as human beings. And those people, the first people that God created, lived in a place called Eden, and they had a perfect relationship with God. They were able to speak to him. They would walk with him on a day-to-day basis. It's basically a friendship. And unfortunately, deception came in, so they were lied to, and in result of that, they disobeyed God. And that caused the friendship that they had with God to come to an end. So we see throughout the Old Testament in the Bible, so this child doesn't know the Bible, but obviously we know this, that they tried to leave apart from God, and we see just the dysfunction, or it wasn't good. There was no good in people living apart from God. And God still wanted to have relationship with people, and his desire was that people would know him still. So the solution was Jesus. Jesus, who is fully God, had to be born and be fully human being, a person. And his purpose was to come and save us and to come and restore the friendship that we had with God. And he had to do that by dying on the cross. And he rises from the dead. God raises him up from the dead. And how do we now become friends again with God is that we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess it with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and he's King. And he was crucified, he was killed for our sins, to bear our sins, and that he was raised by God. And now he's seated with God in heaven. That is the gospel.
Well done. Well done. So I'm going to share mine as well. And it's not perfect. Yours shouldn't sound exactly like mine at all. So for me, it is, yes, God, who created everything, decided he wanted to create humans so that he can have relationship with them, so that he can love them, be with them, care for them, enjoy them, be their father, be their friend. And he created Adam and Eve. And we see in history, in the Bible, that God was with them daily. He walked with them. He chatted to them. And then they sinned. They did. God told them, don't eat of that tree. And they ate of the tree. Peter is with a timer there. Okay. And because of that sin, they were removed from God. So they didn't spend time with God anymore because of that sin. And God looked at them and he was so sorry, so heartbroken, because he really loved them. He created them to love them, to be with them. And then hundreds of years later, God said, okay, I'm going to bring them back to me. I'm going to send my only son in heaven, that's part of me, to earth to die for their sins so that they can have a relationship with me again. And he sent Jesus Christ to earth, and he lived with us, and he died perfect. He didn't have any sin. He died for our sins. Jesus said, I came to restore you to the Father. He came so that we can have a relationship with God again. And he died, and 3 days later, God raised him up. And we can have a relationship because of that with God again. So we must decide if we want to accept what Jesus Christ has done for us and then follow him. Then we need to do God's will instead of our sinful will. And that's our choice. But if we choose to do our sinful will, we don't have a relationship with God. If we choose Jesus and to follow him, we choose to do God's will and follow God. But then we're with God, the God, forever. Amen. Well, how's my time? He was sitting there the whole time. Awesome. So that's my version of the gospel. And I want you to write your own in your own way. But it must have the facts of the gospel. Okay. Awesome. So that is the clear message. And then the second point Henny mentioned was to have open doors. And this is so beautiful. Can we please put on the scripture again? The first one, the ESV one. So it says there, verse 3, there in the middle. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ. So Paul, who has shared the gospel everywhere, he's sitting in prison because he's sharing the gospel everywhere, and he doesn't want to stop. Okay? So if we have an expert in how to share the gospel, how to spot an open door, how to open doors, it's Paul. Okay? And what he says is so beautiful. He says, I can't open the doors. I tried. It doesn't work. Pray that God may open the doors. This is so beautiful. God gave the message. God leads us. God gives us the ability to share the message. And God comes and says, I will open the doors. Ask me. I will open the doors for you to share the message. We need God in every step. This is God. We're just following God. This is so beautiful for me, that we need God to open the doors for us, which is amazing. It takes a little bit of pressure off us, okay? You don't have to kick open doors, okay? So, what is important is doors are closed. Since the fall, sin, the devil don't want us, want people to hear the gospel. So, doors are closed by default. That's the default setting of people around you, unless God comes and opens that doors. And we must trust and ask God for that open doors. So how do we know if a door is open? You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to share, to show you, to open that doors. Otherwise, I remember when I grew up, in Pretoria, there somewhere, no, in Kimberley actually, on the one corner in front of a shopping mall, there was a guy standing with a Bible and a suit, and he was just hitting it to everybody that comes past. He was sharing the gospel, which was amazing. But everybody ran away when they saw him because he was quite aggressive. So I think, I hope and I trust that some people heard the gospel there, but I think he was kicking doors a little bit there, you know. So we must trust the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, to show us when that doors is open. And I want to encourage you, when in doubt, rather share. You know, than not share. Rather share about God and what God has done in your life and the gospel than not. But trust the Holy Spirit. So, getting practical again. I like getting practical. Turn your page over. I want you to write down 3 possible open doors that you're going to have this week that you want to ask God for. God, can you open a door for me here with that person? So 3 of them. Write down 3 open doors that you would like to have this week. All right, you can continue thinking about that this week. I quickly want to send the mic around. Now, I would just like a couple of answers. Please, if the mic is in your hand, just give one answer. And then Kateko is volunteering to run with the mic. Just test it quickly.
I think it's working.
Awesome. Just put your hand up if you quickly want to share. If you're close to her, you must put your hand up. Just one open door.
At school with friends.
Nice. Just give the mic to somebody in particular.
In our own homes, to continually share it.
Awesome.
For a testimony of a believing client at work.
Nice. Devil is coming towards you. No, devil is escaping.
At school with our students.
Okay, nice.
Friends and family that know that I'm in Christ and are supportive of me, but they don't want anything to do with him. So they already know a little bit, but an open door for me to really go in now with the truth.
Awesome. Okay, last one.
With housemates.
Awesome. So that's just a couple of ideas. And I want to share a quick testimony that I experienced the open door. I worked at a company as a project manager and met this one guy, very friendly, very nice. And I like to talk. So he likes to talk, so we got along well. And obviously, I'm involved in church every night. What did you do last night? No, I was there. And he got hurt in church when he was a youth leader and so on. And I asked God, yes, God, how am I going just to share? He doesn't follow you. How am I going to share? What am I going to share? And God just, the Holy Spirit just said, but just share. You know, just what is happening. And I remember the one Monday, I just, yes. You know, last night, the pastor spoke about this and this. And I'm struggling with this. What do you think? How would you approach it? And that's the nice thing. Everybody in the world wants to give their opinion, right? And he gave his opinion. And then the next day, he gave another opinion. He thought about it. And then Wednesday in small group, when he finished speaking about it, Thursday morning, I said to him, yes, last night we said this and this and this and this. What do you think? And suddenly we had a conversation. And the next Monday, you could see he's like, want to ask me, what did the pastor say last night? You know? And for 2 years, we had conversations about Christ continuously. And he didn't come to our church. He stayed in Kempton. He joined the church there. He was a leader there in the men's group and small group. But it's all just about, God, just give me an open door. Let me just share. And it doesn't mean you have to share this gospel as you presented it, straight, the first moment you get. It is trusting the Holy Spirit just to share about who God is and what God is doing. So that's with regards to open doors. I'm going to hand over to Henny again.
Thanks, Andre. Hope you enjoyed that exercise. It's interesting how Paul asked for open doors, not for salvations. Because our responsibility is to share, not to save. We just need open doors to share. We're witnesses. A witness sits on the stand and testifies. They don't have to find someone innocent or guilty. They don't have to convince anyone. They just have to share what they've seen and heard and experienced. And that's our work. Note the irony how Paul is asking them to pray for open doors while he's in prison, a place known for closed doors. Okay? But if you think about it, that brings us to our next point, constant commitment. Notice Paul's commitment to sharing the gospel. Even while he's in prison, he's looking for open doors and opportunities to share the gospel. I've got to ask myself, if Paul is looking for open doors and opportunities to share the gospel while he's in prison, then what is my excuse? Right? Because, Paul, we know Paul did share the gospel while he's in prison. I mean, we would freak out if we got sent to prison. Paul saw it as study leave, an opportunity to sort of get his correspondence in order. So he studied the word and he wrote letters, like the letter to the Colossian Christians, which is a way of sharing the gospel with people. Not only to the Colossian Christians, so he wasn't just sharing the gospel with the Colossian Christians. He says later on, and I think I put up the scripture here, in 4 verse 16 there, after this letter has been read to you at the bottom, see that it is also read to the church of the Laodiceans, and that you also in turn read the letter to Laodicea. So he wrote another letter to the Laodiceans as well. We also see that he sends Onesimus as one of the guys carrying the letter, and if you read in Philemon 10, it says that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. While he was in prison, he led Onesimus to the Lord. Onesimus came to him to ask him for help for a certain thing. And if we look at the letter of Philemon, we'll see what that is. But while he came and asked for help, Paul led him to the Lord. And so Paul wasn't just looking for open doors. He saw open doors and he shared. I mean, in fact, Paul was so notorious for sharing the gospel with his prison guards. Because what they'll do is that the prison guards would be on for a shift, and Paul would be chained between two prison guards for an 8-hour shift. But then he shared the gospel with them and they got saved. So they shortened the shifts to 2 hours, which just means that in an 8-hour shift, Paul had 4 sets of guards to share the gospel with. So he was constantly committed to noticing the open doors and making use of the open doors. So we need that constant commitment as well. So what are some of the excuses that we sometimes use for not sharing the gospel? Number one, we say, no, my conditions are unfavorable. It's difficult at work or at school or so. There's, it's not that easy. Well, Paul's conditions were more unfavorable. He was in prison. That didn't stop him, okay? Another thing we sometimes say is, resistance, pushback. People are sort of hostile to the gospel. Paul received so much pushback that he was in prison and in chains for sharing the gospel. And that didn't stop him. Another one is we say, no, I'm not mature enough. I don't have enough confidence. Paul's partner, Timothy, was a youth. He was a teenager. I mean, Paul's writing this in Colossians 1 where he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother. And Timothy, this was before Timothy was sent to Ephesus to go and pastor the church there. And when he was pastoring the church there, he was a teenager. So imagine how young he was, while he was helping Paul here in prison and sharing the gospel. So we should constantly ask for open doors and to share the gospel and be on the lookout and constantly committed to making use of those open doors. So I just want to ask you another thing. We read about Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures Do you realize what a treasure you have in the gospel? In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul talks about this treasure hidden in jars of clay. We are like jars of clay, but we have a treasure inside. Do you realize how precious the treasure is that you have? It's a treasure. It's the greatest treasure known to man. We're constantly looking for eternal life and eternal health and eternal happiness. Well, we've got it. We've been having it. That's what the gospel is all about, the way to get that. You know, why wouldn't you want to share it with people? So I just want you to close your eyes for a second and just, if you need to, if you realize that you don't have that same constant commitment to be a witness and to share the gospel that Paul had, then just bring your heart before the Lord and just say to the Lord, Lord, help me to realize what I have and help me to be committed to share what I have with the people around me. Yes, Lord God, we just, Lord, repent of so often allowing fear or indifference to prevent us from sharing this precious treasure that we have, that you've given us, this good news. Please help us to be like Paul, to be constantly committed, no matter what the circumstances are, to share the good news. Please train us, Lord, Holy Spirit, to do that effectively in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we can ask you for open doors this week to share the gospel in Jesus' name. Amen. Then just in closing, I want to just want you to notice point number four. Even Paul, the great apostle, didn't try to minister alone, to share the gospel alone. He says, not pray for me, he says, pray for us. And he's talking about Timothy, he's talking about Tychicus, he's talking about Aristarchus, he's talking about Mark, all those guys mentioned in the rest of the letter, Epaphras, Luke, Demas. He had a ministry team around him. You know, the gospel doesn't just save individuals, it saves individuals into a community. You know, this is not something God expects you to do alone. Make sure you have a team around you like Paul. If Paul needed a team, how much more do we need a team, okay? And not only that, he enlists the Colossian church and says, please pray for me. In other words, make sure that you have prayer backup, that people know that you want to share the gospel, that you're going to try and share the gospel this week, and that they are praying for you for open doors and for God's boldness and anointing. You know, get people to pray with you. And that's why it's so important to be a part of a small group, so that we can do this together. So we're not trying to do this alone as an individual. And then, of course, notice how Paul, you know, so often, I mean, because we are Christians, because we are the church, we are part of our team, your small group, our team is part of God's team. But so often, as Christians, we make the mistake of functionally excluding God from our outreach by not praying to him. Notice how Paul says, God, I want you to be involved in the outreach. I'm asking you for help. Please open doors. Please save people. Let's not exclude God from our outreach by failing to pray about it. There's the old saying, you know, always talk to God about the people before you talk to the people about God. Okay, so let's do that. God doesn't expect us to do this alone. He has given us a team. Let's make use of that team. Amen.
So I want you, again, getting practical. Quickly take out your phone and put it on. Do not click where you normally click, on Instagram or whatever. Hold out. Okay. Can we have the scripture on again, please? Okay, everybody's phone's on. Just wave it quickly. Come on, there's a lot of people that don't have their phones out. Jose. Okay. So Paul is asking for help. Who of you have asked somebody to pray for you for open door to share the mystery of Christ last week? I haven't. There's one. Well done. But this is core of who we are. This is the basics of Christianity. This is what we should constantly ask. So I want you to quickly open up WhatsApp and decide who you're going to ask to pray for you for open door to share the gospel this week. And just quickly write them a message and ask them, please pray for me this week. I want to share the gospel with this person or this person or this person. Okay. So I sent mine to Kurt. I know he prays a lot. So, but I want to encourage you. Send it maybe to more than one people, one person. We so need this. If this is the core of following Christ, we should constantly ask this. We should constantly, Wednesday in small group, that's your group, your family, your friends, person sitting next to you. If you don't know who to send it to, there's somebody sitting next to you. Ask them. Send it to them. Okay, but let's always ask this question. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Joburg. May the grace you receive produce God's greatest glory and your greatest good. For more information and sermons, please visit our website at www.shofar.joburg.